Tonight I want to talk to you in the time we have from the topic, the called. The called. I don't know that God is going to speak through me and declare that we're going to take it, we're going to take it. But I want to talk to you this moment from the topic, the called. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14 in the Amplified Bible, it says the following. For many are called, invited and summoned, but few are chosen. Many are called, many are invited, many are summoned, but few are chosen. The word called here in the Greek is the Greek word kletos. And it means called, invited to like a banquet. Immediately my mind go to Revelations where it talks about us being invited to the banquet. Many are invited to join the table of Jesus, to join the ranks of the kingdom, to become part of the kingdom. Kletos means the following, invited by God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom through Christ. So this is, the word also means that through the gospel, God will speak to you and invite you to an eternal salvation that is only found in Christ. Let it be known to this world, to this city, to this nation, that salvation, the Bible says, is only found through the man Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, and let me help you here today, that not all religions serve the same God. They are correct when they say they serve the same God because they serve Satan. There is only one God, the Bible says, whereby man can be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You get invited by Him. You need to be aware because they are reprogramming you to believe that all the other nonsense is leading to salvation. It is leading to hell. Let me help you. Many are called, invited to eternal salvation, only found through Christ. Called also, the word Kletos means called to the discharge of some office. Meaning, when you are called to a specific office. Why do I need to call you Pastor Tabu? Oh, you can call me whatever you want. But when you're called, you know that those who are called are also called to an office. And when you say pastor, you're not breaking down the office. You are lifting up the office and saying that I honor the office that you have because I know I'm called. And because I'm called, I know that I also get called to an office. Amen. You can call me whatever you want, bro. Whatever you want, what suits you. But when you're called, you know that a man that's really called by God is called to an office. And many of these other men will tell you, you can call me whatever you want, because back at the ranch, all they want is to have your favor. Many of them sit with the same rebellious attitude that you sit. They just have the Jesus sticker. Kletos means divinely selected and appointed. Many are divinely selected and appointed, but few are chosen. Not all that shout Jesus, Jesus is going to heaven. Not all that made a prayer to Jesus in front of a church is going to go to heaven. That's a sermon totally on its own. Let me stay with what I'm busy with. When you are called, that same Greek word means the following. You are called, you are summoned to Christ through the gospel. You are summoned to partake of what is His. You are called to a specific office and you are now appointed. The problem with most Christians is the following. We are waiting to be appointed. Oh, Pastor Tabu is appointed. No, bro. If you are called, you are appointed. You are divinely appointed by God to be His workmanship in this city and in this nation and all over the world where He moves you to. Many are called. Many are invited by God through the gospel to obtain eternal salvation. Many are called to specific offices. Many are divinely selected and appointed. People, when you are born again, you are called. And those who are called know that they are appointed. I want to talk to you from the topic, the called. The called know that they are appointed, they are anointed, and they are activated. Woo! Because some of you sit and you are going to die in the same seat, waiting for your appointment, waiting for your anointment, and waiting for somebody to activate you. Those who are called know that they are divinely selected. They are appointed, received an office. For that office, they have an anointing, and they should now be active in service. They are activated. An activated Christian, life is not about them anymore. An activated and anointed and appointed Christian, make sure they reach their goals. There's nothing more important in life than souls. Nothing more important in life than people that do not know Jesus. That's why there is too many places called churches that are not activated, they've never been appointed by God, and they don't have anointing. You cannot be born again without knowing that you are the called. And when you're called, you are appointed, you are anointed, and you are activated for service. You are not going to be activated. You are in active service. You are not going to be anointed. You have been anointed. You are not going to be appointed. You are appointed. The called is appointed. Being born again, you are appointed and divinely selected to a specific office in God's kingdom to do His will. Offices will change as you grow. You will have the usher office of an usher.
Amen. That's right.
And then you will have the office of a shadow for Pastor Tom.
Amen.
And then you have the office of a home cell leader.
Amen.
And then you will have the office of a zone pastor. And then you will have so as you grow and show yourself faithful in the things of God, God will move you to the real appointed office that He predestined for you to have. You have to know that you are called. You are not going to be called, you are called. When you are called, you have an office. When you have an office, you have an anointing. And when you have an anointing, you should be active. You are divinely selective to serve God here on earth for His kingdom's sake. And people that know they are called know that they are anointed. You see, the called is anointed. Number two, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21, it says, now he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. The Apostle Paul, he had an understanding. He said, the one that put us among you is the one that anointed us to be the ones to take care of you. He who established us with you in Christ, meaning we are brothers, has also anointed us in God, giving us a different office. We are the same, but different office, different anointing. And if you are faithful, you will grow in your offices and in your anointing. If you're not faithful, you'll stick and stay there and die an usher. Nothing wrong dying as an usher. But after 50 years being an usher in the house of God, is a different kind of anointing. God established you and he has anointed you. You have to know this. And being anointed means you are consecrated to a specific office and furnished with necessary powers for its administration. Oh, I like it. What does it mean to be anointed? You are called to a specific office. Amen. And furnished. Do you know what it is, furnished? It's not like some of you bachelors that buy, you know, a mattress and you put a few pallets and you put the mattress on it and you put the, you know, you get an old side cupboard that somebody put in the rain that they don't want, and now you and your mates came past with your scooter and you put it on the scooter and you go and you have an old lamp that is falling apart. You know, that's not fanfare. That's not God. But that's the picture that you guys have about anointing. Bible says furnished. It's like getting an interior decorator. Amen. The best of the best. Amen. And he fashioned you so that you can function in your administration. Ah, you missed that. The anointing is for you to function. Function in the anointing is not jumping up and down here. Function in anointing is to go out there to save your world, to train your world, and to connect your world to the church. Unfortunately, too many of you are waiting for a call. Too many of you don't understand that when you are called, you are appointed. You are waiting for an appointment. One day when I leave my job and go full time, I'm going to be appointed. No, you're just appointed by the church. We're just going to pay your bills. Too many of God's people are going through life. The time is urgent. And we are busy with all kinds of things that has no eternal value. No eternal value. Worried about rubbish. Instead, going out. Because we are the called, we are appointed, we are anointed, and we are activated. I am here today because the day Jesus touched me, I realized that he touched me for a purpose. And I realized it immediately that I'm called, that I'm appointed, that I'm anointed, and I am activated. I didn't wait for no one to say to me, oh, will you please get a visit to that church? Will you please bring somebody to church? I didn't wait for an appointment. I phoned Pastor Francis when he was still here. I phoned him the next day. Said to him, God spoke to me. I need to report at your place on the 2nd of January. For a whole month, God locked me in my room. I couldn't get out of my room. He trained me. Night and day. 2nd of January, I knocked at his door. Bang, bang, bang. Here I am, reporting for service. And I've been in service ever since. Don't know what God some of you are serving. Can't even speak to people about Jesus. Because you go through life thinking that you are going to be called, going to be appointed, going to be anointed, and them will then activate you. Being anointed means you are consecrated, set apart to a specific office, furnished with necessary powers for administration. You want more anointing? You have to produce more goods. You want more anointing? More people should get saved. You want more anointing? More people's lives need to be transformed. Being anointed means you are endued with the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, you read the book of Corinthians, you find that Paul writes to the Corinthians church And you know all this rubbish that's out there telling you, oh, the praying of tongues is not for you. It's not the gift. It died there. The gifts of healing died there. When the disciples died, the apostles died, the gift of healing died. All these kind of rubbish. Paul writes and he says in Corinthians chapter 1, go read it. He says, I want to congratulate you and remind you that you come short in no gift.
Amen.
Before he starts to explain the gifts of the Spirit, in chapter 1, he says, you come short in no gift. That means you go to Timbuktu or you are in the desert and there comes a mouse past you and God says, preach to that mouse. And you can't pray, speak mouse language. Then God will suddenly, because of the gift in you, start to speak to the mouse. And the mouse will understand. God doesn't have to come and say, we need the mice language in him.
Yeah, that's right.
So that he can speak to the mouse. Angels, take the mice language to him. No. That's how some of you think. When you are born again and you are anointed with the gifts of God. There's certain gifts that will just naturally flow out of you. You don't have to say much, but speaking in tongues just come. You don't have to prophesy. You just have a word every time you get in the presence of God. But there's other gifts like serving that doesn't come so natural to so many of you. Doesn't mean that you're without the gift. It's just you need to work on that. Because God wants the fullness of you to work. And then there are certain gifts that are dormant in you that God will choose to use wherever he wants to use it. God will just touch you, boom, and you'll start to speak in tongues. Never spoke in tongues. I've ministered to people. They don't understand a word. Started to pray for them in tongues. Their eyes goes like this. I thought, what the heck is going on over here? After it, they say to me, Pastor, when you were praying for me, you were speaking in my language with perfect dialect. I heard every word you said, like that lady. I've every word, understand everything that you prayed for me in perfect dialect. Well, God used that gift once. He never used it again. But no angel came and said, we need that gift now for God to use. No, it's in you. When you have the anointing, it is in you. Are you with me? In John chapter 1, 2, it says, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Friends, you are here today. You're born again. You love God. You have an anointing. You are called. Therefore, you are appointed. And because you are appointed, you have an anointing. And that anointing is to put you separate for his purpose, to empower you for his administration. Don't go through this life waiting for an anointing. When you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. You need to know that you have an anointing. Having an anointing means having a special endowment from the Holy Spirit and unction. Oh, I am anointed. Let me see the unction in your junction. Oh, I want more anointing, but you're as flat as a flat tire. Nothing's working in your life. What type of anointing is that? When you're having an anointing, you have an unction. Getting one person saved is not enough. You get 10 saved, it's not enough. You get 100 saved, it's not enough. You get 1,000 saved, it's not enough. You build a church of 1,000 people, it's not enough. You always dream to have 1,000 members, it's not enough. You get to 5,000, it's not enough. You get to 50,000, it's not enough. You have an unction. It doesn't stop. It's never enough. It's more people. More people need to know. More people need to get to Jesus. More people need to change. More people need to be baptized. More churches need to be planted. I'm a firm believer that the anointing will kill some of you. You won't make it. Having the anointing upon you. It's like Paul. He says, it compels me. I go to bed, I can't sleep. I go here, I've got an unction. I reach a million people, it's not enough. That's why men that are really anointed, they are different. You don't have to look for them. The problem is you don't work with your anointing and you settle for all kinds of other rubbish. When you have an anointing, it creates an unction for the kingdom, for souls, for people to be saved, for churches to be built, for lives to be transformed, for people to have a hope and a future. Not to sit and around and be a bless me club. You bless me, I bless you, God loves me, God loves you, and the world goes to hell. It's not anointing. Let me just help you there. Ain't anointing. Anointing is for a specific service to build God's kingdom. Amen. That means you build people. And while do you build people? You save them from darkness and you put them in His glorious light. That is preaching the gospel. So you have to have a heart for souls, period, full stop. Everything in heaven is about souls. Has been, is now, and always will be. Only thing that you can take to the other side is people. People get today confused with real anointing and with charisma, with cameras, lights, and people getting up, jump up and down in church. People jump up and down when they went to Michael Jackson's concert. Yes, that's right. They cry, they are excited, yes. they fall, everything going to Michael Jackson's. Even now, just looking at the TV and Michael comes, they cry, they get a goosebump, they jump up and down, they fall, they do everything that you are doing. Not in church. So don't get fooled. Anointing is to change the world. To change the world, you need to change people. So people should get saved through your life. They should get transformed. They should get closer to God. That doesn't mean they should stay. Some of you are also confused with that. In Luke chapter 4, 8, it says the following. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover sight of the blind, to set all at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the anointing for? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Number one, to feed the poor. Don't say amen because I'm going to be angry if you say amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to feed poor people. Number one, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? Read it. To preach the gospel. Amen. To the poor. A poor person is not a person that's without money or food. A poor person is a person without Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
You can't get a poorer person than a person without Jesus. The poorest people may be starving tonight to death without Jesus. Is far richer than the richest man ever lived. Some of you are confused with that as well. You think the church's job is to feed the poor. The church's job is to preach the gospel to a poor and spiritual starving world. It says to heal the brokenhearted. Those whose hearts are not in tune with God. Those who think God hates them and God doesn't love them and all that's happening in their lives is because of God. God's punishment. To heal the brokenhearted. Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. To tell people you can be free from sin. And it's sin that's destroying you. It's sin that causes all this. Sin is the doorway of hell in your life. You keep flirting with sin, you end up in hell. You have an anointing to deliver people from that captivity, which is sin. Fortunately, that is something that Christians don't talk about anymore in church or in their lives. Oh, God loves you. Oh, God's grace. And then people still even live in sin. You are there because you have anointing to preach to people the gospel. The true gospel is the following. There was no way into eternal life. It is bad news. But there's good news. God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for you so that through him you can obtain eternal life. Bad news was you can't make it on your own. Good news is he sent his son. True gospel is actually repentance, baptism, being filled in the Holy Spirit. That's the true gospel. Not believe, not have faith. Repent of your sins. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of purpose, and a change of action. It's not saying sorry and you go sleep around again. That is leading to death. It says godly sorrow will lead to repentance. Change of mind, change of purpose, change of action. And that will lead to life. It says recovery of sight to the blind. It's not just physical sight. It's number one spiritual sight. To tell people that they need to see. Are you still with me? It says to proclaim to set liberty to those who are oppressed. Meaning you walk with God, but you are oppressed. You struggle to keep committed to God, to his ways. Every now and then you lose your way. It can come through oppression. God says, set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's why it's a journey that is together, not on your own, together. So that when you are oppressed and struggle, brothers and sisters can come in and they can help you and liberate you from that position that tried to isolate you and to destroy you. That's for some of you. It says, proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. Number three, the called is activated. You have to become an activated Christian. The word activate means the following. To make active. Cause to function or act. To make more active. To hasten by various means as heating. Oh, it's hot in that church. Well, we're trying to get you to be activated. It means to place a military unit or station on an active status in an assigned capacity. Wow, I like it. When you are activated, it means you understand that you are in a battle and that you are in a full-on battle against the powers of darkness. They are not there to play with you. They are there to destroy you and get your backside in hell. There's no such thing as being a born-again Christian and you are not in the military of God. But you get many of Christians that are AWOLing. They are in the military. They don't want to be there. They AWOL. Any AWOL person goes to where? No, prison. You stay as an AWOL Christian You might end up in hell. I don't know. It's up to the Lord. But as I understand from military, you don't want to be there. You run, but you are enrolled and employed and appointed. You AWOL, you go to the jail. You see, an activated Christian understands this. They understand that you are in full battle array. It's not a game. It's life and death. People will go to eternal hell because of you not standing watch and standing in your position and you not in that military unit or station, active in your position, looking out for certain things to happen and not to happen. Being activated means the following. The above has already been done. Active means something needs to be done. Activated is the past tense of active. Am I correct? So that means it has been done. You are already on the move. You are already understanding. I'm in the military of Jesus. I am fighting a battle of eternal hell and eternal life. I cannot play games. I cannot go AWOL. I cannot not be in my position. God placed me here. He gave me an office. Paul said, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. And he says, be watchful to this end, meaning you are in a battle. The problem is most Christians are going through life. Bombs are exploding. People are dying in the mass. Satan is dropping nuclear bombs upon the world, not physically, but it's coming physically. It's going to come physically, not long from now. But he's doing it in the spirit, and people are just going highway to hell. And the church is oblivious. Just my life, and I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this church, and I don't want to do this. You have to become an activated Christian. You need to be made active. Are you with me? Amen. You are active. Nobody need to cause anything for you to function or act. You are ready functioning and acting upon God's word. You don't need to be made more active. People are telling you to slow down. Nobody need to tell you that you are on active military assignment in God's army. You are fully aware of your assignment and you are assigned because you have capacity. You believe that through your life, God is going to change the world. He might start one person, but one day you are going to walk into heaven and hundreds and thousands, even millions, are going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for, thank you for smoking. You got out of the tube there, can you remember? Thank you for speaking to me. You know what, you worked with me, can you remember there? You worked with me, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Revelation chapter 17 verse 12, I'm almost there. It says, then the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet. This scripture that I share is being fulfilled at this moment. They have no kingdom, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. They are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those, listen, gives you a picture of who is with Jesus when He comes. It says, those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. Many are called, but few are chosen. Much less is faithful. Jesus said, not all that said to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter heaven. So you need to know when you are called, you are appointed, you are anointed, and you are activated. But now you need to be chosen. I am a firm believer, you choose yourself. You elect yourself for His service by your willing attitude to serve Him. You have to move from being called to be chosen, and from chosen to be fruitful and faithful. Because it says those who come with Jesus at the end are those who are called, those who are chosen, and those who are faithful. And I pray that you and everybody under my voice will fall into that category. You are called, you are chosen, and you are faithful. Even today, many are called, few are chosen, and even less are faithful. I want to give you the greatest picture I found in the Bible of a person that missed it. A person that was called, but he didn't grasp it. So he didn't get chosen. Now he might be in heaven, I don't know. But let me share with you a picture of a man that I believe missed it. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18, it says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I've kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." Family, you have to remember that every Christian, since the time of Jesus and the early church, know about this rich young man. They call him the rich young ruler. I want to ask you, because now it's 2,000 years later, and you also know about him, the rich young ruler. I just read his story. What do you know about him? What comes to mind? He was very rich, but he wasn't prepared to follow Jesus. Every Christian from that time till today, and everyone for eternity, will know this about the rich young ruler. He was called. He didn't get chosen. He didn't follow Jesus. He might be in heaven one day, and every one of you that will be in heaven will one day see him pass by, and you will know that's the rich young ruler. And that will come to your mind, Jesus called him. Like he called one of the 12 apostles and he missed it. Many are called, few are chosen. What I'm trying to say to you, for eternity, all Christians will know the story. We're going to live in eternity in heaven. If the rich young ruler is there, he's going to pass by, and all of us will know one thing about him. He missed it. Jesus called him, and he wasn't prepared to come, wasn't prepared to follow. I wonder how many rich young rulers are going to be in the rich young ruler club. How many of you might one day find yourself in the rich young ruler gang in heaven for eternity? Where you know God has called you, appointed you, anointed you, and activated you for service, but you were not prepared to come. You were not prepared to do. I want to encourage you to take what I'm saying tonight very serious, because some of you think that you're going to go to heaven brainless. You're going to see David, and you're going to know what David did and what David didn't do. You know it already now. You're going to see that rich young ruler, and one thing is going to come to mind for eternity about that young man. Jesus called him and he missed it. What's going to happen with you? What's the story of your life going to be? What are the people in heaven going to say when they meet you and I? You are here tonight. You might not know God. God is calling you clearly. He says, come. Come, receive eternal life. Some will say no. You might be here tonight and God has called you, but you never realize, but if you are called, you are appointed. If you're appointed, you are anointed. And if you're anointed, you have to need to have an unction. You are should be active. Don't become a rich young ruler, because for eternity, you will regret it. Rather say, Lord, use me. Lord, I might not be perfect, but I'm answering your call. I might not read 1,000, but I might read 10, reach 10. I might not be the next Billy Graham, but Lord, I'm going to give it my best shot, because you've called me, you've anointed me, you've appointed me, and I'm active in your service. I know, and I am going to elect myself, and I'm going to be found in the category of the faithful when you come back. I am going to be one that says, I was called, chosen, and faithful. Rewrite the story of your life. Because somebody is writing a story for you that's not your story. Satan will write it for you. Your decisions will write it for you. Make up your mind, the Bible says, who you want to serve. If the Lord is Lord, serve Him. If Satan is Satan, serve Him. Make up your mind. And if God has called you, you have to know today that you are appointed, you are anointed, and you should have an unction to see the city saved. Do not miss what the young, rich young ruler missed. I promise you, I feel it in my spirit that that young man, I can be wrong, not making it a doctrine, I felt that he missed it and Paul became it. He missed it and Paul became it. Jesus knew long before that there was a snake in the ranks. I found this rich young ruler being called one-on-one like all the other apostles. It's the only one. That's what I found. I might be wrong. You can say me, come and show me someone else. And he walked away. And then God supernaturally touched Paul. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that that's what God intended. I just place two and two together, came to Tabus 4. It might be God's two, I don't know. But I saw this young man being called by anyone, every one of the apostles, exactly by name, leave everything, follow me. He missed it. What you remember of him, you will remember one thing. He missed it for eternity. What is your life going to be about? What are we going to see about heaven, in heaven for eternity, about you? Are we also going to walk past you and say, wow, she missed it as well? Or are we going to say, well, he gave it his best shot? Are you going to have the stripes of called, chosen, and faithful? I don't know. All I can do tonight is to encourage you and to tell you that the time is near. And right now, tonight, Jesus is calling some of you to salvation. He's calling some of you for service. And he's trying to activate many of you by telling you your anointing is for activation, to see that people get saved, the church gets built, and we become the salt and the light of this nation. And I pray after tonight that you will make up your mind saying, I'm called, I'm chosen, and I'm going to be found faithful. When my Lord comes back, I'm going to give it my best shot. Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that tonight we can learn from the lives of the men and women that went before us. Lord, I thank you that you love us above all things, that you always love us. Your love never changes when it comes towards us. But Lord, tonight I pray that you will speak to hearts and minds of people, your people, those that you have called. Maybe there's one or two here tonight that never heard your voice, but tonight they hear the call of God telling them, come back home, make right with me, the time is near, give your life to me, get saved, get eternal life, I love you, I care about you, I sent my son to die for you. Maybe there's people here tonight, your people, God, that you've saved already, but they are waiting for an appointment, and they're waiting for an anointing, and they're waiting for activation. But tonight you spoke clearly to them that they are the called. They are anointed and appointed and activated for service. Pray for them, Lord, that you will strengthen them with faith, that your spirit will come upon them and change them into another people, another person. Let us never be the same. Use us for your glory, Father. Lord, we cry out for souls. We cry out for the city and for this nation. We thank you that you will flood it with your love and with your spirit of repentance, that they will come in their hundreds of thousands and cry out to be filled by the Spirit of God and turn from their wicked ways. But stir the hearts of your called. Rise them up like a mighty army. In Jesus' name I pray. You might be here tonight. I'm asking you one question. If you die tonight, are you 100% sure that you will go to heaven and spend eternity with God? If you are here tonight and you have a half a percentage of doubt that you're going to not end in heaven, I want to tell you, God loves you. And God has brought you here tonight to hear the message of salvation. God, through this message, is calling out to you and say, come back home, be saved, receive eternal life. Don't want you to go to hell. Turn from your wicked ways. I'm going to receive you, accept you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to use you for my glory. If you're here tonight and you say, Tabo, that's me. I need God. I need to be right with God. I know my life is not right with God. Then while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed and you say, that's me, then please give me the opportunity to pray for you. Right now, you can choose life. The Bible says God comes to us and he says, choose between life and death. And then he says, choose life. I want to encourage you tonight, choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Because he is life. If it's you that I'm talking about, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and you need to be included in this prayer, I want to ask you to do something for me. Just quietly slip up your hand and say, Tabo, here I am, pray with me. And we're going to pray with you, wherever you are. You might be in the back. Thank you, I see your hand there in the back. You can put it now. You might be on the balcony. You might be in the front. You just know that you need to be included in this prayer. You need to be born again. You need to give your life to Jesus. Then right now, I want to encourage you to choose life. Right now. You need to choose right now. Just put up your hand high. Say, Tabo, here I am. Thank you. I see your hand. If you haven't put up your hand yet, you know you should. Slip it up. Now. Thank you. Here in the front. Thank you. Come. You can hear God's voice. God is speaking to many people here. Right now, you need to make a choice. Right now. God is calling to you through this message. God is telling you. You know that you need to be included in this prayer. Slap up your hand. I say, Tabo, here I am. Pray with me. Before we go, we're going to pray together and your life is going to change. Father, I thank you for every person. I give you all the glory and all the praise. May your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Well, God loves you, everyone individually. He has arranged this meeting to speak to you. And thank God you heard His voice. The Bible says no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you just heard God telling you to come back home. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer where you need to make a decision to follow Jesus. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. If you're just going to pray a prayer and go on with your life, nothing's going to change. But if you say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm committing to you. Everything is going to be okay. All right? I want you to put your hand on your heart. Just close your eyes. And pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for your forgiveness. I receive it right now. I believe that you love me, that you care about me. Thank you for Jesus. I believe that he's your son. Use me in your kingdom for your glory and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.